Good evening, welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, here at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Would all please rise for the invocation by Reverend Suzanne Trump of St. John's Windish Evangelical Lutheran Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we invite your presence here with us tonight as we gather to complete the business before the members of City Council. We give thanks for each member of City Council, the mayor, and all our citizens gathered here tonight as we present a citation honoring Deborah Wachter and William Bass Jr. We give thanks for their good work for our community. Tonight, we ask you to provide open minds, listening ears, and mouths that may speak for the benefit of our city. Bless all those who are here tonight and guide all the decisions that will be made tonight so that they may be to the benefit of all our citizens of our great city. Give us wisdom as we move to debate the ordinances and resolutions before us. Guide us always to seek the greater good for all. Keep us safe as we depart here tonight and continue to bless the city of Bethlehem and all its residents. All this we earnestly pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Trump. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan. Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Present.
Ms. Negron. Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walden.
Present. Mr. Callahan and Ms. Negron had informed me that they would not be attending this evening. They are out of town. Prior to our meeting, we have two citations, as Reverend Trump mentioned, for Deborah Wachter and William Bass Jr. I don't believe either are here, and those citations will be mailed to them. Seeking approval of the minutes for January 21st. With no comments, the minutes stand approved. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. Previously, no one had signed up for our first public comment. Is there anyone who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Mr. Gallagher.
Good evening, Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Fight the good fight, my extended family, I always say. President Waldron, my mind went back to the reorganization meeting, what would that be, a month ago, in which the subject of the meeting, the topic of the meeting, very much was the running of the meeting, the qualifications of the president to run the meeting. But there are other things that the president does that we could have been talking about, and I think they came up a little bit, actually, in some things that you said, President Waldron. You kind of said that, you know, I may be off here a little bit, but I think you said there isn't much more to it than running the meeting. There's no perks. I kind of imagine that the president of city council gets invited places and all those kinds of things. But I think you sort of said there's no perks, and it's the running of the meeting that's the important thing. But we saw last meeting that you have the power to appoint committees, and there was some heat about that from one of the members of council. So that's an important thing that you do, or that the president does. And the other thing that occurred to me is that you have the ability to kind of set agendas, I think. I don't know the dynamics in the background, but you kind of have the ability to set agendas or to try to get council to come to consensus on things. So I'd like to talk about two things in which I think I'd like to see you and perhaps other people try to move toward consensus on. And one is that reappointments, I'm going to hammer this from last time, reappointments should be bolstered by records of performance. After the meeting, I was thinking that one of the council people called one of the nominees to talk. And in the past, there's another council member who has described calling nominees for reappointments to talk. And it occurred to me that, you know, that's not really the first thing that should happen, that the case should be made for reappointments now from the mayor in a kind of renomination package, a reappointment package. Good for council people to make that call if they feel uncertain about it, want to check some things, but a case should be made from the mayor for the reappointment. That seems so obvious to me. You folks are elected officials. You come up for re-election, you're going to have to talk about your past term, your past record. When I first started going to the parking authority meetings, there were representatives there that come from elected official families. There were two spouses of elected officials. They know what it's like. When you come up for re-election, you got to talk about what you did. They're not going to be upset by having to sort of put themselves forward or having somebody put themselves forward. There are two businessmen on the Bethlehem Parking Authority. They know that if you come to their establishments and use their establishments, you're not going to come back unless the performance was good. So they're not going to be upset or think that's a strange kind of thing. Can council have consensus that reappointments, key thing though, maybe just on certain few committees? One of your council members pointed out that it would be the committees that have the power of the pulse, the power of the purse. That makes sense to me. There's a conversation there to be had. I don't have exact figures, but just from doing quick newspaper searches, looks like the solicitor of the Bethlehem Parking Authority has been there since 1998. That's 22 years. And that the chair of the Bethlehem Parking Authority has been there for 12 years. Now, there's something to be said for experience and continuity. It's a good conversation to have. That's a long time, as one of the council people pointed out, for an ABC that that has control of so much money, spends so much money. And quickly, one more thing. I wonder if council couldn't have a consensus that this dispute between the police officers and one of the district magistrates over what we might call a racial insensitivity issue, a potential racial insensitivity issue, that be on the public safety committee agenda for 2 weeks from now. The mayor wrote to me that the administration would have nothing further to say about that issue, but as far as I know, nothing was said to begin with. And the mayor wrote me that the administration feels that issue should not be brought up at the public safety committee. So whose committee is it? Is it the council's committee, the public safety committee, or does the mayor get to call that shot? So I wonder if we couldn't have consensus about at least raising, announcing, talking a bit about that issue at that meeting. Thank you. And I've gone 30 seconds over.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. I'll touch on a few things that you brought up in my regard as far as the nominations to boards and committees. There's a couple that the president of council affects through a council medical appointment. That's the EAC and library board, where I make nominations and council votes on that, much like the mayor makes most of the nominations to those boards. As far as the agendas, in my 2 years, I've never affected an agenda as far as setting what it will be or not be on an agenda. And then some of the perks, I do get invited to places, I don't go. That's all, and I believe the mayor may be making a comment this evening. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment on anything not on our agenda this evening on this side of the room? Rotating around, anyone in the middle would like to make comment, something that is not on our agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to our second public comment, which are for ordinances and resolutions on our agenda this evening. We have four names previously signed up, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the room. First, we have Brett Stringfellow.
Thank you. I'm here to discuss the temporary closure of Packer Avenue. between Bynum and Webster that we're proposing between March 9th and April 30th of 2020.
And if you please state your name and address just for our records, argument.
Brent Sternpillow, Associate VP of Facilities for Lehigh University, 461 Webster Street.
Thank you.
Just to reiterate some of the comments I made at the last meeting, first of all, there were, in terms of why are we doing this now or proposing this now, a number of issues come into play as we think about the future of Packer Avenue. First is the safety of pedestrians. As pointed out previously, we count over 1,700 people a day crossing Packer Avenue, and with a peak midday of about 800 persons an hour. In addition, the changing face of Lehigh's campus. As we've embarked on more projects that are fully integrating the campus with Southside, such as our leasing of space at 3rd and New, the development of Brinker Lofts, leasing of space at the Flatiron Building, programs like the Southside Ambassadors and our partnership with the city with the renewal of New Street, as well as some of the academic work we do with the community and school district. We see this as a way to further pull the core of the campus further into Southside, as well as an opportunity to look at what might be an improved pedestrian amenity, obviously for the campus, but also for the community at large, providing a safe and welcoming east-west axis in the community. The other question, some of the other questions are why a test closure? So up to this point, we have conducted a traffic and planning study, and our engineers from Pinoni can address that prior to even proposing the test closure. The results of this, which Pinoni can address, generally show that there is fairly minimal impact from the closure of the avenue between Webster and Vine Street. Based on this, we believe that the test closure offers the best opportunity for proof of concept. We don't get that chance very often with something that's proposed to actually see if it works, knowing full well that if it doesn't, even in terms of the over the full duration, we will reopen the avenue if need be. In terms of what the closure details will look like, we're going to be closing it to normal traffic. Emergency and service and delivery vehicles will still have access to the avenue. We'll be using a chicane approach, similar to Music Fest, to ensure safety, but also to ensure access. The area will be open to pedestrians, and in fact, will be, as you can see from some of the drawings here, we'll have signage. It's also key to note that we will have signage to ensure that people from the public understand that Packer Avenue remains open as a pedestrian way and is welcoming to everybody in the community, Lehigh and Southside residents entirely. During the closure, we will be, first of all, installing the signs, as I stated. We'll be working with the school district. We've had meetings with the superintendent and the principal as of last week to go over some of the procedures that would be put in place, including assisting with crossing guards during the closure. We will also be working in conjunction with the Bethlehem Parking Authority to conduct counts to understand the impact on parking. And we will also be, and our engineers Pinoni can speak to this, conducting ongoing traffic studies of impact in the Southside neighborhoods. And they can talk a little bit about the scope of where we anticipate that being. The other thing I do want to understand about the design of it is set up that if there were some sort of emergency on Southside, these will be water-filled barriers. They can be emptied and opened up so that traffic could be allowed to access in an east-west direction in the event there was some sort of incident on 3rd or 4th Street that would require us to divert traffic. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stringfellow. Next on our list is Scott Harney.
Scott Harney from Pinoni Associates, 2041 Avenue C. I'm an engineer on behalf of Lehigh. I'll be performing a transportation study to look at the impacts of the temporary closure. So first off, we'll be looking at pedestrian patterns both on Packer Avenue in the area of the closure to see if people cross in different locations the streets surrounding Brockwell Middle School to see how that impacts the students at Brockwell. So those would be in-person counts of in observations looking at about an hour of the highest activity in the morning and the afternoon at the school, and around lunchtime on Packer Avenue, which is the busiest part of the day for pedestrians. So we'll do these studies both before the closure and during the closure, so we can make comparisons. We will also look at 20 different intersections that are shown where the dots are on the map down below. These intersections we will be looking at the pedestrians using the crosswalks, how many are crossing at, in each direction, and also the vehicles, how many are turning each direction, and how do traffic patterns change before and during comparing them. And then finally, we'll be looking at what we call tube counts. They'll be out on the road for 7 days before and 7 days during the closure. So that way we can look at 19 roads through the area to look at, and those will only look at traffic from vehicles. So we should be able to use that data to estimate how vehicle and pedestrian traffic patterns change, and to see, using some engineering, the Highway Capacity Manual, what sorts of delays are there at intersections, both for vehicles and pedestrians, and how does that change over time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Harney. Next name is Jason Schiffer.
Good evening, Jason Schiffer, Lehigh University, 321 East Packer Avenue. Mr. Mayor, may it please this honorable council, my name is Jason Schiffer, the Chief of Police at Lehigh University. I've been serving in this role since January of 2018, and previously I served as a police officer here in the city of Bethlehem for 20 years, retiring in 2013 as the Chief of Police. I'm here to speak with you about the proposal to temporarily close a portion of Packer Avenue in order to study and test the feasibility of a permanent closure. I will speak about the safety concerns and what I believe can be gained by approving this proposal. I want to be clear that I do not stand before you as an advocate of the closure of this street, but as an advocate for rational decision making. Like some of you and many residents, I have concerns. In my time working for the city, I've seen many proposals come before this honorable council and many vigorous debates in this room over the approval or denial of them. Some of the ones that come to mind or whether to approve a casino to be built on Bethlehem Steel Land, to demolish the Durkee plant and build a Lowe's and Woodmont Muse, to open the Plaza Mall to through traffic on Broad Street, to construct a CVS at 4th and Broadway, to build a retro McDonald's on the vacant lot at Five Points, or more recently to build a five-story building and a parking deck at 3rd and New Street, and the list goes on and on. These projects all came before City Council under protest. Many projects were amended before their ultimate approval. I remember hearing a considerable number of citizens come before this council to declare that the approval of that particular project would be disastrous for the city. Some projects were not a great fit and obviously were not approved. Others were approved under substantial protest. I think we can agree for the most part the result has not been disastrous. Sometimes with amendments and great debate, projects were approved and this honorable council has guided the city to continue to be a community that is thriving. The proposal before council tonight is significantly different than any of those I mentioned before. All of those projects were seeking approval, and once approved, they could not be undone. In this instance, the university is seeking to test a plan with little to no cost to the city. The agreement is that the plan can be terminated early if the results are not as we expect. In this plan, we all get to test a theory that it will work before the plan gets final approval. That's a rare opportunity and a fact that should not be overlooked. I've worked many years in South Bethlehem, and many of them as a police officer on a bike. I know and understand the challenges and the traffic patterns that exist in South Bethlehem. In the 2 years I've been working at the Lehigh University Police Department, I've observed some safety concerns on Packer Avenue that are worth noting. I've had discussions with the Bethlehem Health Bureau about traffic calming measures that possibly could be implemented on Packer Avenue because of the speeds that cars are traveling, and mainly the pedestrian vehicle conflicts that exist there. You've heard about the numbers of cars and the numbers of pedestrians that navigate this section of roadway every day. Those numbers are not insignificant. I have some other numbers to consider as well. In the sections of roadway under consideration for closure, our police department has investigated 3 pedestrians struck by cars. That's just since I've worked there in the past 2 years. We've made at least 3 DUI arrests. We've investigated at least 2 hit-and-run crashes. We've issued 29 citations for failing to stop at stop signs in that section of roadway, and at least 64 warnings for failing to stop at stop signs in that section of roadway. 5 instances of also failing to yield to pedestrians in crosswalks. I say all those numbers to amplify the point of the pedestrian vehicle conflicts that do exist in that section of roadway. The amount of conflicts that exist on an hourly basis in this section of roadway is some of the highest I've seen in my law enforcement career. During the lunchtime hours, it's nearly impossible to navigate that roadway by car because of the number of pedestrians. It feels kind of like a roadway that's open for traffic during the middle of Music Fest. I'd also like to speak to the benefits that I see that could come from this venture. The Lehigh campus is a place where there are very few plots of land that are level and available for gatherings and events. I believe that this area could be used for student and community events, much like sections of the Greenway and Farrington Square are currently used for things like Veg Fest and the weekly summer farmers market. There are a lot of possibilities that cannot even be envisioned unless we have the opportunity to test the plan and see what can become of this space. I believe that it can certainly become much more than an area for Lehigh-affiliated people to park their cars and for there to be constant vehicle-pedestrian conflicts. More importantly, the decision before you tonight can easily be reversed, unlike so many other difficult development decisions faced in the past by this council. I respectfully request that you thoughtfully consider this proposal and give this plan an opportunity to be tested. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Next on our list is Carolina Hernandez.
Hi, I'm Carolina Hernandez, 2614 Bethlehem Fields Way. Bethlehem has been my chosen home since 2001, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to speak today. My role at Lehigh University for 18 years has been as the director of the Community Service Office. In this role, we have focused all of our energy into working in partnership with the South Bethlehem community, and I use the word with deliberately. We are the proud lead partners of the community school model at all 3 South Bethlehem schools, Donegan, Brockle, and Fountain Hill. As a result of this partnership, in each of the school buildings, we have a Lehigh University employee dedicated to expanding learning opportunities, integrating health and social support services, and engaging parents, families, and school staff. We understand the responsibility and duty we have to the greater community and know that this work with our South Bethlehem kiddos has been and will continue to be transformative for our community. 18 years ago, on the sidewalk next to the old Brockle Middle School building, I was with Lehigh and Brockle students co-creating what is now Spring Fling and Spooktacular. The goal of those programs was quite simply to come together as one community. I'm proud to say that what started off with 60 kids the first year has grown to be over 1,000 residents annually joining us. Other initiatives have emerged from there with our after-school homework clubs that Lehigh students not only tutor at, but facilitate 4 days a week, 24 weeks a year, from 3:15 until 5:15, providing dinner for our kids and our families, making sure that our kiddos are completing their homework, and providing them a safe space to play and engage. 182 tutors just this year alone are working in all 3 South Bethlehem schools, both in the classroom and in after-school programs. Last year, our tutors served over 19,000 hours in just those 3 schools. We also have Parents Night Out programs where we invite all of our kids onto campus for a night off. We give the parents a night off and we assign them their Lehigh student and we come onto campus and we have a fun-filled theme night. This Friday, we have a Mad Scientist evening that we're hosting for our kids. We have things like Living La Vida Lehigh, where we invite all of our kiddos onto campus to have a day where they are exposed to college and understand what it means to live on campus and engage, and so much more. I share all of this because there's not a single week that goes by that we are not working with and in partnership with our kids. We are starting to blur those lines, and it's taking us a while. And this is a really important opportunity to explore what that possibility could be for the future. Like Chief Schiffer said, we don't have many spaces on campus that are flat, and it would be a wonderful opportunity to find ways to engage our community and find other ways to bring folks in. So I implore you to explore this as an opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hernandez. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to speak on any ordinance or resolution to be voted on this evening, starting on this side of the room, rotating around? Is there anyone in the center who would like to speak on any ordinance or resolution?
Hi, I'm Kim Carroll Smith. I live at 833 Carlton Avenue in South Bethlehem. I sent a rather long document to a number of, I think, on everybody on City Council. And I'm sorry it was so late this afternoon, and you may not have had time to read over it. But what I did was, as a Southside resident who has talked to a lot of neighbors and actually attended the meeting in South Bethlehem that was held at Brockle Middle School, and thank you to the council members who came to that. That was enormously helpful, I think, for you to be able to hear directly from the community instead of just a few of us who show up at the meeting here. It was great that it was held on the South Side, and thank you. But what I did was try and collect a lot of information for a lot of people and put together sort of a list for you, and I kind of divided it into two. One list was why and what is this closure about, sort of the long-term vision, but also in the short term of the study. And the questions were, there were four of them, one of which has been answered already by Chief Schiffer. I knew when he was Chief Schiffer before. So, and that was the question about safety data. So that was very helpful, but a lot of people had wondered about that. So another question is, what does the city hope to achieve with the proposed closing of Packer? What's the key objective? And what do they see as gains, and what do they see as losses? And how do we balance those things? Another reason that the folks from Lehigh talked about was the idea of pulling students further down into the South Side. And I think that we are, all of us on the South Side are aware that that's a very tough job, is to try and get students to come down. So my only question, and this comes from three other people as well, is will this have an adverse effect, though, at Morton Street by closing Packer and trying to get students to go beyond that barrier? Because that's one of the big barriers, getting kids over Morton and down to 4th Street to get them to the commercial area. That's tough. And the New Street program that's been initiated to transform New Street is kind of designed to pull people there. But the question was, is Morton now going to be a problematic space because of increased traffic and pedestrians? The other thing that a number of people on my side of Lehigh in particular, which is the west side of Lehigh, are concerned about is the upper campus road through campus. And the mayor had said that he had asked if Lehigh would include that in the study, which I think is wonderful, because that is, that and the neighborhood surrounding is a place where a lot of cars may decide to go to get around the lower part of the South Side. And I know those of us who live in the South Side all know that route through Lehigh's campus. Right now that is covered with construction. If you've tried to drive through there, it's very congested. There are flagmen and equipment and all kinds of things. There is a lot of parking, which Lehigh's trying to take care of with the construction workers. But I think that a lot of people are concerned that this might not be the moment, perhaps, and maybe there's another moment that might be a little better when the construction settles down a little bit. But basically what we want to know is who's going through there and how many, and how does it change over time. The other grouping of questions is more about the study itself and requests for what we would love for you to study. Also, the question is, will those results be shared before the decision is made to close Packer for good? And how will they be disseminated? And will the public have a chance to comment on that? The questions, and I'm going to try to do this really fast, are that will the consultants be studying the effects on pedestrians? And we've heard that they will. A number of folks said, are these consultants experienced with pedestrian studies? And I don't know the answer to that, and I hope that you do, because they were concerned that if they're used to looking at vehicle traffic predominantly, they may not be thinking the same way about pedestrians. I don't know how you study pedestrians. But among the things we should know is, how do they plan to track Brockle student walking patterns and safety and see what the changes are over time? What's the baseline? What happens? How do they account for safety issues as they study a Broadhead, Summit, Montclair, Carlton, the places that the kids will go but other pedestrians go as well, and where the cars may all decide to go to get around that detour? What will the consultants do to look in, because this is scheduled for spring break, what's going to happen with the numbers that they'll be gathering in the beginning of the consulting process, because that will be when students are away for at least a week, and faculty members and some staff at the same time, but it's usually faculty and students that disappear. So that would skew the data if you lump it in as part of the averages, so we're curious about that. I'll leave you to read many of these things, but also there's an issue of snow, which I brought up at the meeting at Brockle, because Morton Street is a really difficult street, I think, to get the snow off of and the ice. And those of us who live on the south side know that we try and avoid it when there's snow because it doesn't get cleared. So that's a question too. And finally, if the trial closure and study are authorized by council, will you incorporate residents into some of this final decision-making process? Will you share the data from the study? Will Lehigh and the city do that? And then how will they be collecting feedback? And how will they incorporate residents into that process? And I guess I don't see these questions as insurmountable, but I think answering them means that planning for the traffic and pedestrian study would have to be really careful. The study would have to be extensive, and we're seeing it broaden out. But is that written into the contract? Are the particular streets written in specifically so that we know these things, and the places that those of us on the south side know about will be part of it? I couldn't see this because it was on the floor and it's turned backwards to me, but I don't know what those intersections are. But also, what's, you know, how are we going to share that information? And finally, let me wrap up, there should be a plan in place before the study begins to present the results and hear from the public before the final decision is made. And I know that the mayor has expressed his eagerness to really think about this deeply, to hear from people in the community, and I'm hoping that that will be part of the decision-making process you undertake tonight, that there might be sort of a promise in there, just as the contract will have specifics in it. And thank you for letting me go over. And I'm sorry this is a very long document, but I hope you take time to read it at some point. It'll be much more articulate in writing, I assure you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grill-Smith.
Good evening, Brina Holland, 379 Carver Drive. So I wanted to start by just asking one question. I'm here to also talk about the closure of Packer Ave. Did I hear the consultant, if I can ask you a question correct, in saying that you are only going to be studying
the... Ms. Holland, please direct your comments
okay.
to the chair.
Maybe you could ask the consultant if I heard him correct in saying that they're only going to be studying traffic patterns in the morning and at midday. Did anyone else notice? I don't know, but that actually seemed quite important, because one of the things I was going to raise was the implications for parents commuting and going over to pick their kids up in the afternoon. So it seems like when kids get out of school is actually the most important time to study, or at least one of the most important times to study. So if somebody could get clarity on that, I'd appreciate it. So back to my main point, to just bring out a couple of things that Kim already talked about. Obviously, we have a big problem on the south side with traffic going east and west on 34th Street, right? So these streets get really backed up. And I am not personally a resident of the south side, but I know lots of people who live on the south side. And what you do when there's traffic on 3rd and 4th Street and you're trying to get from one side east to west either way is you go over Packer. it's a local street in that respect. It's like a street for residents who want to avoid the traffic on 3rd and 4th Street. And so it's very important, I think, to understand what the impact will be on the actual residents who live there. Now, this, of course, will push a lot of the traffic down farther onto the streets on 3rd and 4th Street and Morton Street. And so this is why I think it's also crucial, picking it up again on something Kim said, that you study changes in accidents on 3rd and 4th Street, right? We know that, I guess, well, I know now after hearing our police, Lehigh's police speak about that tonight, that there's been some accidents on Packer, but one of the worst intersections I think anywhere in the city is on the corner of 3rd and New Street, right? And also I think there's some bad traffic accident areas that is at 3rd and New and 4th and New as well. So it would be important to see if during the period when it's closed, if you end up having an abnormal number of accidents in those other intersections, because that's where the traffic on Packer is going to end up having to go. For students crossing over for all the traffic going over to Morton, that of course, especially at the time that school gets out, is going to be a problem for the Rockwell Middle School students. Just imagine that, you know, if that Packer is closed and people can't use it and you're a commuting parent and you have a very busy schedule, you're probably going to increase the traffic commuting times for a lot of the parents. And so I think it's very important to hear from the parents about that. And then this is sort of one of the main issues I wanted to bring up tonight, which I also mentioned at the last meeting, and Kim also talked about. It seems incredibly important, of course, to do this study and to get the data. And I think everybody is really appreciative of the opportunity to study this before actually closing the street. But it seems really important to give the opportunity for residents to respond to that data and also to respond in some sort of setting where they can talk with elected officials who are making the decision, but giving residents an opportunity to talk about their experience and what they have to say about the data. So one thing I know you all can't stand is when 100 people show up here complaining about something, and especially if you haven't heard much about it until then, you don't want to end up in a position where there's some data, it's studied, some decision is made, and we're at a public hearing, and that's the first time you actually get to hear from residents, and you've got Lehigh ready to close it, and you've got the mayor ready to close it, and then all of a sudden a bunch of people show up here screaming, saying, don't let them do it. So I would really strongly encourage you to try to make an agreement tonight to incorporate a meeting into the decision-making process where people can come in after the street is closed and talk about its impact on them so you can adequately address those problems. Presumably everybody wants to adequately address the problems. I've highlighted a couple of things that I think are going to be significant related to the Brockville School students and their parents especially. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Holland. Is there anyone else in the center who'd like to speak on any resolution or ordinance?
Stephen and Alex. 737 Ridge / 1201 Butchtown Road. There's an old adage that says, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Because if you try and repair something that works, there's going to be fallout in another area. So the question then becomes, does this adage fit Packer Avenue? On the south side, there are three major east-west routes, 3rd, 4th, and Packer. And as some people mentioned, 3rd and 4th are difficult. So a number of people living on the eastern side of the south side may wish to go to 378. So Packer becomes a very convenient right of way, because it keeps them off 3rd and 4th Street and also reduces the congestion on 3rd and 4th Street. So this becomes a citizen concern. Also, the loss of parking on Packer Avenue will then create a problem in other parts of the south side for the people to park. And some have mentioned to me that the loss of the parking spots on Packer would force the students to park on upper campus and then take a bus. In inclement weather, when buses don't run, they would create a hardship. So a number of students seem to be against the closing. I also would like to know whether the loss of revenue on the parking meter will be compensated. I don't know if there's any discussion on that. But I was going to comment on the safety, but I was told by an informed person that there have been pedestrian incidents on Packer Avenue at that crossing. But that also includes, as another speaker mentioned, that there are accidents on other parts of the city. So the question is, who benefits from the closing and who suffers from the closing? There is one distinct advantage for the closing, and that is that Packer Avenue, at one point way back, was the intellectual iron curtain between the campus and the south side. As much as the Lehigh River was a social iron curtain between North Bethlehem and the south side, which isolated the south side. But the closing of Packer Avenue would then make the campus contiguous to the south side by extending it down to Morton Street. Morton Street would not be a viable avenue to get to 378 because of the problems with Brockles closing and opening with the school buses and crossing guards. So citizens would be forced out to 3rd and 4th Street. So I think that this would be a very hard decision to make, that both interests have a strong argument. And I would ask, would additional safety measures at the crossing, traffic lights or a guard at the height of the heaviest crossing, would that eliminate some of the problems of possible pedestrian injuries? So these are difficult questions, but I think they demand an answer, and whose best interest will be served here?
Anyone else in the center would like to make a comment? It's worth.
Good evening, my name is Al Worth. I live at 525 6th Avenue on the west side. I work at Lehigh and spend quite a bit of time there. I cross the pedestrian walkway on Packer Avenue frequently during the week. I would echo some of the concerns, and I'm new to this issue, so I apologize if I've misinterpreted anything, but I just have some basic questions that I would ask about it. It would appear to me, first, that closing the road may be like a sort of rule-based one-way kind of system, so maybe there's a better plan in this area. Will it open later at night? I'm not going to ask anybody that. I just don't know the details of this because I'm new to this issue. But it would seem that you only really need to be concerned about their pedestrian interaction. And I'm pretty familiar with what the traffic and the pedestrian activity is. During a few hours of the daytime, there's not that many students running around at 8 a.m. and there's not that many running around at midnight either. And so to close the road permanently and make it impossible to serve all the purposes that that some of the other speakers mentioned, including one of the three main east-west, I guess it is, traffic ways across the south side, would seem to be unnecessary. That if you do want to do anything, I think probably the smartest thing to do here would be some kind of traffic calming, such that it was very, very difficult to have the existing pedestrian incidents. My guess is also, and I don't know the truth of this, maybe they're going to tear the road up if they do close it and return it to grass and plantings and sort of some kind of new eco-heaven on the former Packer Avenue. But my guess is it's going to remain paved for emergency access and for access to the campus. I don't know which of those is true either, but I guess what I'm saying is the when and the how of this issue are much more important than simply having the road be opened or closed. And I actually am a little bit anxious about the political signal that it sends to the residents of the South Side to say this road is closed and it's now Lehigh only kind of thing. The second anxiety I have about this is I literally work on the corner of Vine and Packer, or Vine and actually Asa Packer Drive, which I'm told by Brockle teachers is off limits to Brockle students. That is Asa Packer Drive. They're invited not to cross the campus. I have no idea whether this exists or not, or whether it's just folklore or whatever. But when you take all the cars that are now crossing at Packer and send them deliberately past Brockle, it seems to me that as bad as Lehigh students are, and I know them, I see them all the time, I'm guessing the junior high school kids are even less careful than Lehigh students, and that pedestrian car interaction and enhancing that by sending cars down Vine to Morton, and Morton being the main east-west way that the students might go home, is also a little bit nuts and probably is unnecessary. And at least Lehigh should do is invite the Brockle students to go across the campus on the safe route rather than down to Morton, where all the cars are going to be going that are now going across Packer and threatening the Lehigh students. And again, I'm not really thrilled with the idea of the way this looks in terms of who we're catering to, or who we're trying to protect and who we're a little bit less worried about. So I feel like the impacts on Brockle, and especially when I go by there and school is out or school is starting, there's a lot of school buses, there's a lot of other stuff going on, there's a lot of kids are walking around, and a lot of them aren't paying attention to the crossing guards and all that kind of stuff. So to invite more cars to go by Brockle that used to kind of safely avoid, for the most part, at least the entrances to the school. You know, the school is now on the downhill side, so Packer Avenue's pedestrian traffic for Brockle students is much less than it used to be back when the school was up the hill. It seems to me that there's a simpler solution here, and that maybe this should be tested, and that it should be time of day and more significantly traffic calming, perhaps a bike lane on the road. And if the pavement really is going to be removed, that really changes all the bets. But I'm guessing that that's probably not the case. So we're going to have a road there, and we're going to have the runoff, and we're actually turning the cars and the pollution down the hill to the community and away from the campus. And that's probably good for me in the big picture of things, except I go home past that. But I'm not going to be there that much longer, and I'm really thinking more about the kids at the school, and I think we want to pay much more attention to the impacts of this on them. I think some of the other speakers raised some of these issues, and I'm running out of time, but I'm not sure why the road needs to be closed, and certainly not if it's closed 24 hours or all the time. And having that available at night and on weekends and stuff like that might be a lot simpler, with a lot less risk to any of the students, and with a lot less risk to the Southside community as a whole, or to the Brockle students. Thank you.
Is there anyone else would like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Mr. Gallagher, I think that's you over there.
Hello again, Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. Quite the good fight, my extended family. It occurs to me sitting here that this is like a procedure I've gone through for 50 years at Lehigh as a teacher. A student comes with an essay. My thesis is we want to close Packer Avenue. We got a first draft January 23rd at Brockle. If you read Gadfly, Gallagher said, not quite right. February 4th here, 2 weeks ago, we got the second draft. If you read Gadfly, I know everybody in town doesn't read Gadfly, but come on, get it going. I said again, no, not quite right. Wow, third draft, it's getting there. It's getting there. I'm not against closing the street. I want you guys to have the best argument to make a decision, and you're not making it on just, we love Lehigh and Lehigh's our friend or whatever. It's getting there, but it's not quite there. And I would still urge you to hold off. So they had their thesis statement, we want to close Packer Avenue. We have 3 points: pedestrian safety, changing face of Lehigh, improving pedestrian walkway there. A couple of them are kind of close, but they're not there. As been pointed out, pedestrian safety. One thing to say that there's 1,700 people that cross it at a certain hour. That's a perfectly healthy street, a perfectly healthy, constructed, pretty, wide street. Why the nuclear option? Why not, as people have said, some traffic calming? And if, as the chief or captain, now I'm confused, raise some of this with the city, where's the city coming forward and saying, hey, we've been thinking about this for years. We got to do something there. Haven't heard that yet. Secondly, the Lehigh partnership. The mayor has goals that I've heard many times about bringing the campus closer to the city. Those goals are clear. I like those goals. The triumvirate that I would hear in regard to that point in the essay is that Lehigh funds the ambassadors, that Lehigh has people who now work downtown in the offices, that Lehigh apparently is maybe helping out or interested in the refurbishing of New Street. Because Lehigh has done those things, because Lehigh has invested those things, because Lehigh has partnered with the city on those things, does not necessarily mean that the city should say, okay, let's close Packer Avenue. There's a logical gap there that hasn't been filled. Those things that Lehigh says, which were said here tonight about all the things we do, they are true things and they are good things. But to me, the prof, there's still a gap between that and saying, okay, let's close Packer Avenue. And the third is most interesting. Caroline, just bringing it up here, that I think we need more about. This is the most interesting. The programming that Lehigh could do for the South Side if that were closed. Wow. So I'm saying to that student, you know, in this pretend situation that comes to me now, with the third draft, you got to go one more draft, and you got to do traffic calming in your first point. You got to have the logic a little tighter in the second point, and you got to give me some specific examples of what you would do with that space, and then we can go to council, and council can say, we have it. So it's not quite there, gang, from the prof's viewpoint. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on any subject being voted on this evening? Yes.
Hey, Gail Demolakis, 825 Carlton Avenue, Bethlehem, South Side. I am a resident. I don't have anything to do with Lehigh. And I'm listening here tonight, and I'm convinced this is going to be a nice space, this closing of Packer Avenue. And then I think, well, on the other hand, I use Packer Avenue a lot. I drive on Packer Avenue. 3rd and 4th Street are a snarl of traffic. I don't know if any of you use it, but Packer Avenue is definitely a nice east-west corridor. We know to avoid it at certain times when there's jillions of students walking around. And so to close it permanently, it occurred to me that why couldn't we have the festivals and everything sometimes and close the street sometimes for these gatherings that we're talking about? I walk around a lot too. I'm a big walker, and I walk on Packer Avenue a lot. I find it very pleasant, and I have 2 dogs in tow, and I walk around other areas of the neighborhood. I've heard the safety data. I do not feel unsafe on Packer Avenue. Where I feel on very high alert, adrenaline rush as a pedestrian, is at Broadhead and Morton and Vine and Morton. And to push more traffic down there, just, I'm not sure that's a responsible thing to do. I'm not necessarily against testing it. It might be a good idea to test it. I don't know if this test is long enough, but that's what I have to say.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who would like to comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on to our agenda. Is there any old business for members of council? Communication 6A.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and multiple use permit agreements. The agreements cover various events detailed in the agreements attached to the memorandum at the following covered locations: Saucon Fields, South Fields, Buchanan Fields, and Northdale Fields. The permittees are the following youth athletic associations: Bethlehem Saints, Bethlehem Stars, Bethlehem Steelers Athletic Association, Lehigh Sports Association, North Central Little League, Northdale Athletic Association, Northeast Bethlehem Raiders, Northwest Athletic Association of Bethlehem, and Southside Little League. The duration of the use permit agreements are specified in the agreements attached to the memorandum.
The resolution can be placed on the March 3rd agenda, Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Karner, Director of Community Economic Development, with an attachment showing revisions to a proposed bill establishing Article 1738, titled Residential Rental Units. On November 11, 2019, the Department of Community and Economic Development forwarded a proposed bill to Council establishing Article 1738. City Council subsequently referred the bill to the Community Development Committee for review. Since forwarding the bill to Council, the Community Economic Development Department prepared some minor revisions that would strengthen the bill's provisions and improve the city's ability to implement and administer the program. The proposed bill, incorporating the revisions shown in the red line in the communication, will be reviewed in the Community Development Committee meeting on Thursday, February 20th at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall.
This will be referred to the Community Development Committee for their February 20th meeting. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. The permittee is Star Bethlehem Festival, Inc., and the event is Failty Fest. The duration of the agreement covers March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020. The covered premises is the Charles Brown Ice House.
The resolution will be placed on the March 3rd agenda. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. President. 2 points. Number one, I consider it necessary and in the city's best interest that the statement be made to address recent blog postings of letters of a highly personal and confidential nature. In the letters, Magistrate District Judge Engelson made allegations of unprofessional and illegal conduct against a city police officer and Chief DeLuzio, involving a traffic stop and a marijuana possession charge. The allegations have been subject to a thorough internal investigation. This included review of dash camera and body camera audio-video evidence of the actual events. The evidence shows that the allegations are false. The solicitor, the city solicitor, advises that Pennsylvania laws impose specific constraints which limit further public disclosure by the city at this time. Those constraints also apply to investigatory materials, evidence, and any further review. Therefore, for the foreseeable future, further comment on this matter will be very limited or declined. Thank you. Second, just one or two comments pertaining to Packer Avenue. I think that, you know, as I reflected back on the New Street Garage, there was many individuals made recommendations about doing a study before we would build a garage. And I think that's something that we took into consideration with the Packer Avenue. This is a study. No decision has been made. We had a public meeting, which Lehigh was very receptive to, had a very good turnout. Many of the ideas that were mentioned about including an additional streets were incorporated into the study. And if there's more streets, I'm sure it will still be incorporated into the study. The City of Bethlehem's police, fire, public safety, Mike Alcohol's department, all have been involved in the planning, along with Lehigh, for the temporary closing. There are many issues to really review, even when the study is complete. I think someone made reference to the revenue, the loss of meters. These are all issues that still need to be discussed. So we've expanded the study. We've met with the school district. We're going to have crossing guards at the key intersections. And the key question that I'll be looking at, if the city council approves, is the impact of the cars into the neighborhoods. Where will the cars go that are parked on the 62 meters on Packer Avenue? The impact on the neighborhood. And that will be a key question, along with if there's any additional traffic flow or accidents. These are all issues that will be studied. Lehigh did do a study, the Parking Authority did a study, the city reviewed the studies. We've talked about this for about the last year. And then we would get the data and the results. And you know, I have not discussed this with Lehigh, but I would certainly be open to a public meeting at Brockville for residents to make their input. And if the recommendation were to be to recommend the council to close, which we're nowhere near that point, I certainly would be open, and I would encourage another public meeting at Brockville for the neighbors and anyone to make their input. I think that it's also important to take into consideration, I've had many conversations with PennDOT over the new or reconstructed Hilly Hill Bridge that is scheduled in a few out years, and no decision's been made on this issue, but I certainly would like to see, and I've had many discussions with Mike Rebert on this, and so as Mike Alcohol, to reconfigure the ramp, and if there's a way we could reconfigure the ramp to have a 30 square street going down 2nd Street past the charter school and right in down into the casino, that would alleviate some traffic. So that's something I've had discussions with PennDOT over the last 3 or 4 years. And we're getting very close to a final design of the bridge, possibly sometime this year. So these are all issues that still need to be discussed. But as I said, and as many of the Lehigh speakers have said, if 1 week into the study, it turns out to be the wrong thing to do, we'll pull the plug right away. I certainly will pull the plug. So we're going to watch this very carefully. And I think, you know, a 40-day study, it's something that we certainly should consider, and I hope City Council would approve this tonight. This is an issue. I grew up on the South Side. It's been discussed for the last 25 years about closing Packer Avenue. And is there a good time? Well, we can say that about 5 years ago today or 5 years from now. And I think there's been a lot of effort put into it with various studies. And if any member of council or the public has more suggestions, I certainly would encourage them to email me, and I would forward them to the to Lehigh University. Hopefully, they would be incorporated into the plan before it starts. So, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Reynolds?
The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, February 11th at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall. The committee reviewed several proposed budget adjustment bills presented by the administration. The committee voted to forward the following proposed bills to full council for consideration. Bill amending the general fund in connection with general fund adjustments. Bill amending the non-utility capital improvements fund in connection with 2019 year-end adjustments. Bill amending the water capital fund in connection with 2019 year-end adjustments. And the bill amending the sewer capital fund in connection with 2019 year-end adjustments. The bills are each on the agenda tonight for final reading. First reading.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. That is all for our reports this evening. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. Ordinance 8A.
An ordinance amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the city zoning map. Bill 1-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Callahan and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. New ordinances. Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 General Fund Budget. Bill 2-2020 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Capital Budget for Non-Utilities. Bill 3-2020 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Capital Budget for Water Utilities. Bill 4-2020 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 9D.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Capital Budget for Sewer Utilities. Bill 5-2020 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Northampton County, Pennsylvania, in accordance with the above-cited Municipal Records Retention Manual, hereby authorizes the destruction of public records of the Health Bureau as stated in the attached Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Lehigh University for the temporary closure of portions of Packer Avenue to motorized vehicle traffic in order to assess the impacts of the potential long-term closure. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Mr. Colon?
Thank you, President Waldron. So I'll be supporting this tonight, the temporary closure. I'm curious to see what comes out of the temporary closure. In my not so brief now time on council, we've already vacated a couple streets that we didn't have this opportunity to do a test. Now each circumstance is unique to its own. We vacated a portion of 2nd Avenue. We did a street there for the new garage. And you know, I kind of have some hesitation because I think back to West Broad Street by the former Boyd Theater. I wasn't really paying attention to city business back then, but I was part of the 5K to reopen Broad and remember how big a deal it was when that street was closed and then reopened. So I won't really speak to what happened around those circumstances, but what's unique to this is that we have an opportunity to do a temporary closure and then come back to the table and see what happens. And there's a lot of merit to both arguments for doing the full closure and some other points that other people had brought up. Why I think that now is a good time, now specific to this time of year, is that I think it's very important that we do the study in temporary closure while all schools are in session. I mean, we're getting to a point now where we're in mid-February. I know the university lets out, I'd assume, in early May, and this is going to take us to late April, and then, of course, having Brock open, you want those Brockle students there. I think it's good timing, too, in that as we approach more of the springtime, you don't have to worry so much about clearing the street if we were to have some kind of inclement weather, even though it doesn't seem like we get snow or ice anymore. If we do have a weather event, that street's going to have to be cleared. It's still a paved road, so the further we get into the spring, I think that's good. And I know someone alluded to Lehigh. And obviously, there's a lot of construction going on right now, but I think you want to test that when you have the time where there's less than ideal circumstances and the surrounding, whether sidewalks or roads or things like that, are already under some stress, because who's to say if this moves forward and we do permanently close it, you know, down the road, a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, you're going to have similar stresses on the existing walkways and roadways in that area. So where I stand on a permanent closure, who knows? I don't know for right now. But what I do agree with is doing a temporary study, seeing what happens, and I think now is a good time, given some of the circumstances that I outlined, to move forward with that. I'm encouraged by the mayor's comments about having another public hearing at Brockle. I know most of us were at the previous one and were able to hear some feedback from the student community and others that were in attendance. And then also I'd be curious to see, I know no one's here from the parking authority tonight, but I know they were present at Brockle and they're involved in all this too, just when we get information about the loss of meter revenue and other things, obviously, that, you know, just parking there on Packer is going to be stressed during this temporary closure. So, again, I'll be supporting this tonight. What to give a little feedback on why. And thank you, President Walter.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
I'd like to preface my comments with first saying that my brother, niece, and I are all alumni of Lehigh, and my daughter was a high school scholar at Lehigh, and we're all very grateful for the valuable education we received there. I'm very familiar with all the great things they do in the community, and I'm very grateful for that also, having worked at Donegan School at one point while I was a grad student at Lehigh. That being said, I do have a lot of concerns, even about the temporary closure. One is the proximity to Brockle Middle School, and I think it's a good point to think about, you know, we're talking about the pedestrian safety of college kids, but working in high school and working with middle school kids at times, I worry about their maturity level, especially with their pedestrian safety, and I'm concerned about having increased traffic in the Brockle area. There's also St. Peter's Church that borders the university, and I worry about the traffic for those people in that congregation. Also, a concern is the south side is so congested already. All I heard about from when I spoke to people about this is we need more streets on the south side, not less. We're also looking at another 72-unit apartment building that's going to be built on 3rd Street with not as many parking spots as there are going to be apartments. So that's going to be an increased issue with parking as well as with traffic. Another thing that is really important to me is, while I think walkability is awesome, I live downtown Bethlehem and I love it because I can walk everywhere, but for many people, walkability is not an option. We have a good percentage of the population of people with physical disabilities as well as an aging population. I know myself, I have gone to many events at Zollner and at some of the buildings right on Packer Avenue for lectures with some of my friends who are older, and if I wasn't able to drop them off at the door, they would have probably been impeded from attending some of those events. So that's a concern to me. With the closure, again, I think it would be great for Lehigh, but I have concerns about the community, even it being temporary. And I wonder that it's not an extreme jump. I wonder why we can't look at maybe doing a very sophisticated crosswalk like they did at Moravian on Elizabeth Avenue. I've heard nothing but positives about that crosswalk. It's very sophisticated in that traffic can see it. I drive by there almost every day, and people do stop and they adhere to it. So it's a really plus for the students as well as the drivers. There's also, you know, overpasses and walkways that many universities have. As a guidance counselor, I visit many universities, so I'm fortunate. And I think of all the universities within cities that, for example, UPenn and NYU and Drexel, University of Sciences, and they have challenges also, but they get around that by the crosswalks and they build overpasses. So I'm wondering if we're not taking an extreme leap by looking at closing the road versus looking at other alternatives. I also think about the Broad Street closure, which was one that comes to my mind, that it was probably one that I'm most familiar with, and you know, that was not successful, so that also is a concern. So I just have a lot of questions. Perhaps in the future, I would be more inclined to agree with this. If we can, you know, enhance the Hilly Hill Bridge and look at Second Street. I know myself, I'm on the south side a lot, and I think Second Street is the best kept secret because I use it all the time to avoid Third and Fourth because it is constantly congested. So unfortunately, I'm going to be voting no on the temporary closure for all the reasons that I just described. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grimsey-Smith.
So I have to say I agree with Mr. Antalix tonight that this is a really hard decision to make. I wrote some notes down, so I'm going to be referring to my notes. And I'm also going to be pretty candid because I told the mayor this, as well as Mrs. McNeil, exactly what I'm going to tell you tonight. My first concern is, why is this being done? And I'm not convinced with the safety argument. I understand that there are incidents, but if you boil it down to the serious ones, not just the warnings, there were 42 incidents in 24 months. That's less than two per month. And again, people don't say that they feel unsafe on Packer. Certainly there are many urban universities that struggle with safety of their students, but certainly the first thing that comes to mind is not vacation of a city street to solve it. So I'm just unconvinced that this is it. I think really the reason that we're asked to be doing this tonight is because Lehigh wants to consolidate their campus. And that's not inherently a bad thing, but it has to be addressed in the correct way so that the citizens who are giving up city-owned land have faith in the process that all the data was transparent, everything was available and made abundantly clear. This study will assess the impact, but it's imperative that we all understand exactly what we are assessing. We can't get this wrong. It's not like we want to do another closure. So the data that we're gathering has to be well understood. And I would ask that the mayor and Lehigh make the contracts with the consultants transparent so that the citizens who want to know what we're studying can kind of see it now even and assess what does it look like as this closure happens, the temporary closure. This study must have a plan in place how to disseminate the study results. I went to the community meeting. I actually thought that there wasn't enough people from the community there. I think that more people could have been brought in by a more robust campaign to get the word out about what was going to be talked about and who could ask questions and all the type of data there. What was good about that meeting was that a lot of the stuff that was brought up was incorporated into the plan now. So the traffic study was expanded. The concerns of the Brockle principal brought up. He was really concerned about the impact on the students who walk from school and wanted to make sure that they were going to be safe. And so Lehigh is now, from this note that we got, funding five Lehigh University personnel to serve as crossing guards at key intersections. Way to go. You incorporated what the people brought. But there was also a lot of people calling out the fact that this was not being done for safety. And I just think that you can engender trust in the community of South Bethlehem if we're pretty frank and candid about why we're doing this. We're doing this to make Lehigh stronger, to make a stronger campus and consolidate what we've got going on. That's why we're doing this. It does have the added benefit of ameliorating some of the safety concerns, but really the primary reason is for the university. The other things I wanted to say is there's going to be significant impacts on South Bethlehem. The citizens are losing land. That is city and citizen-owned land that we would be giving up. So that has a steep price. That's very valuable land. The traffic concerns has been, you know, exhaustively talked about tonight. They're real. We really are going to have much more traffic shunted onto 3rd and 4th, and that's going to be a significant impact on quality of life. There's convenience of accessing 378. There's the pedestrian experience and safety issues with 911. These negative impacts will expect to be mitigated So we have to figure out what are those negative impacts, and I'm talking about a permanent closure ultimately. What do we do with the dollars that we're given for that land? We're not going to dump them in the general fund, and I would like to have some discussions now so that the community is brought into this process at an early stage of what it looks like if this is permanently closed. What does it physically look like? The good points by Mr. Worth about what is it actually, is it going to be green and look like the Greenway but a little bit wider, or is it going to be a street with hydrants and lights, and what does it look like? Are those crossing guards going to be permanent for the Brockle students? How do we draw the citizens up into this space that was formerly theirs? Do we put a playground there? How do we make it more of something that the citizens of Bethlehem feel like they are still pulled into and a part of the community? And how do we create better bike and pedestrian experiences? We want to bring the citizens down, I mean the students down from Lehigh down into South Bethlehem. How do we pull South Bethlehem back up into the campus so that we can really integrate it? What does that pedestrian experience look like? How do we make it easier for them? And how does Lehigh make it happen? How do we plan for that now? So for all these reasons, I am voting no today. However, what I really would encourage Lehigh to do is postpone this. I think this is a great idea. I am all for a study on what this would look like. I think, though, that there's too much that needs to be done before the March date that we could take care of now and address through the summer, and then have this study happen in the fall when Lehigh's back in session, not during spring break, which I think really skews the results. Even if you take that part where the students are away for spring break out of the data analysis, it means you've got a lesser amount of data to analyze, and it doesn't make it as valid. So I would ask that this be postponed and let people like Ms. Cramsey Smith and myself, who actually might vote for a permanent closure if all of these impacts are mitigated and talked about in an open way and the community is more brought in a robust way. I would like to say in the end, though, that I do have a vision of what this permanent closure could look like for Bethlehem, and it's a great vision. I think that it could be a great thing for South Bethlehem if it's done correctly, and that means it has to be a slower process that has the community involved from the get-go. I would advocate for a citizen steering committee that's made up of representatives of the community, including the Brockle principal, Lehigh student representatives, citizen representatives, public safety representatives, and cyclist and pedestrian people. Because I think that if we have a closure of this land and it becomes part of the campus, that if the citizens know that all these other things are being done, maybe the money that we get for the land itself gets put into a community fund that's dictated by the community what it's used for, not by me or Lehigh or the mayor's office, but by the citizens who are actually going to be impacted by it. Maybe Lehigh can help start a South Bethlehem Business Association, because they really don't have one, and it's really needed, and perhaps that could help balance some of the problems that we have and not being able to draw those students down into 3rd and 4th Street. So I have a vision that this can work. I just ask Lehigh to slow down. There's no urgency here. There's nothing that is going to happen if we delay this for 6 months and go back and try to do a little bit more of a community process. The same plans that you've obviously very thoughtfully created and very thoroughly addressed, I think these can just be put on hold while we come up with a community process that better addresses a lot of the concerns that were brought up here tonight and fully pulls the community into us so that they believe in the process rather than feeling like it's being jammed down their throats. So for these reasons, I will not be voting for this tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Worth. Ms. Reynolds?
Thank you, Mr. Oliphant. First of all, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. I want to thank everybody for all of their thoughts and their comments, and I really want to thank them for their openness to understanding what the right questions are without necessarily knowing what the answers are. And I think that that's always the healthiest way to necessarily have this debate. I think when you look at the process of anything that the government does and local government does, and you look at somebody with a private interest that coming forward, of course, when they are something that private entities, institutions, whether or not they're colleges, whether or not they're businesses, citizens, there are reasons that they want to do it. And the key and the decision that, you know, the governmental entity has to make is whether or not there's overlap between the private interests and the public good or the public interests. And I think what you have to do there is you have to look at the different people that are affected. We have heard from some citizens. We need to hear from more citizens. We've heard from our own public safety institutions. We've heard from Lehigh's public safety. We've heard from the school district. We have heard from, you know, different people that have a real interest in what is going on here. I'm going to repeat some things that other people have said tonight, but the one thing I do want to kind of stress here is that we are very fortunate here, and that a lot of times we have to deal with hypothetical benefits or hypothetical negatives, and we have to deal with, I feel this is going to happen, or I think this is going to happen, or, you know, I really have this strong feeling, and, you know, you know, we've talked about, and as I've talked about in the past, is that's not always the best way to make decisions. The best way to make decisions is when you have rational, qualitative data to be able to go on. That's the best way for us to make decisions, and that's what this is really about. It's about giving the city and the public an opportunity to see whether or not there is a public interest in doing this. I really appreciate a lot of the comments today from Lehigh and also from the citizens, in that the real boundaries between Lehigh and the community are not unique to Lehigh and the South Side, but they're also not physical. They are necessarily economic, or they're emotional, or they're based on identity, and I really do give the Lehigh community a lot of credit for understanding that and directing more and more of their interest and their energy towards how do we bring the South Side together in a way that, as Dr. Van Wert says, it's not just bringing people down from the hill, it's how do we bring people up from the other neighborhoods. And there's a lot of people that spend a lot of their time at Lehigh, a lot more time than us, and a lot of people on the South Side that really understand that dichotomy, is that what we need to try to do is how do we bring people together? I think we are getting pretty good. Our community, the country, we're getting pretty good at creating things for people that fit exactly what they want to do. What we're not as good at is bringing people together that have different identities that necessarily can kind of interact in that kind of diverse way that creates a community. And if this is done well, it's another step in that direction. When I read the letter from Mr. Stringfellow today, we got a couple days ago, and I look at the goals here, and I think that's what this is really going to come down to, is like the laudable goals as far as concerns about safety for the 1,200 pedestrians, that is both a city issue and that is also a Lehigh issue. The second and the third one, a desire to knit together the Lehigh campus and to hopefully draw more students to South Bethlehem Business District, and also creating an attractive pedestrian walkway for both the Lehigh community and the Bethlehem community. Those two goals especially have an overlap between the City of Bethlehem's public good and Lehigh University's self-interest. But that also has to be proved before anybody is able to take that next step. If this was just good for one group of people, this wouldn't make sense to do. And when you look at those two things, I think one of the challenges of the study is going to be, how do we necessarily prove those things? I spent a lot of time in Lehigh classrooms because, you know, I went to Moravian, but I could not take some classes at Moravian because my father was my professor. So I understand that sometimes questions are difficult to answer. And sometimes you have to make decisions even if you don't have great answers. I think it was Ms. Carell Smith that had sent over that I think she called them buckets of questions, I believe she called in there, and it was not too long. I read it today before the meeting. But the first bucket was kind of like, should the closure be done and why? And then the second one is necessarily, how is the study going to go forward? And that's the one common thing, that even with my colleagues that are not in favor of moving forward with the study, that it's really about how is this going to be done and whether or not the important questions are going to be answered, some of which we don't even understand yet. One of the difficult things about any conversation is here is when something is proposed, people come out because they don't want to see it happen. And you have some other people that come out because they think it's a good idea. But oftentimes the groups that are most affected, they're not here because they don't exist yet. because they haven't necessarily seen this as a positive or seen this as a negative. I think the study, while I do agree, I think it's actually, and I understand why it's probably timed that way as far as when Lehigh students are here, I actually think it almost could be longer to be able to gain more information and also work on that education piece, and so we could kind of see how necessarily these different factors are affected with and without Lehigh students. I would, you know, when you take a look at this, we often talk about how we don't have more information to be able to make decisions. And this is an opportunity to be able to gain decision or gain information before we make the decisions. But, and to get back to, you know, the analogy that, you know, Mr. Gallagher made, who I think I'm glad I didn't have to turn in four drafts for before I turned in that paper, is that, you know, it's got to be proven. This is just basically saying, okay, I understand that I understand what you're trying to prove here. But the decision that we make tonight is much smaller than the decision that we're going to make probably at the earliest several months from now as far as when this study would be done, everything would be brought together, questions are answered, and anything's brought back to us. That is a much more final decision. While it might not be semi-permanent, and I don't think that the broad street comparison where you're relying on commercial traffic and people to go into those businesses is necessarily the same one here, but to get everybody on board at the end, it's going to take. And it's not going to be me saying, I think that this might be unsafe for brothel students. It's going to be, well, what is the brothel principal saying 6 months from now? Or what is Dr. Roy saying 6 months from now? Or what is Chief DeLuzio saying 6 months from now? Or Mr. Alcohol? Or what are neighbors saying 6 months from now? It's going to be these institutions and these people that are coming out to say, we see this, or we don't see this as a good thing. And I guess I would just finish up by saying, it's like, it's in the first paragraph where Mr. Stringfellow and Ms. McNeil, I'm not sure who put this line, and says, we recognize that there are long-standing cultural issues that can make our campus feel inaccessible to the Bethlehem community. I think that there is an opportunity with this to really kind of go about doing this the right way. I understand that you can never answer all 500 questions, and that's not a reason not to move forward. But I do think we can do a pretty good job of trying to look at these different buckets that Ms. Grell-Smith referred to, some of the different ideas and the potential long-term and short-term ramifications. And for me, whenever it comes down to make the final decision on this, it's going to come down to, do I think that this is a step in the right direction for bringing the Lehigh community together with the Southside community that has often been at odds and very different, and I think some of that kind of mistrust has come out, but at the same time, we've taken little steps, I think, as a community on both sides of the river, but especially on the Southside, between Southside institutions, whether or not Touchstone Theater in Lehigh or the homework groups that Ms. Hernandez talked about, where we're breaking down those kind of emotional and economic barriers one at a time, and that's going to be the big question for me. At the end of the day, is there a public good here that is worth us closing down or vacating or whatever it might be this street? And does that interest work for both the institution that is before us as well as our community and the public good? So I will be supporting this tonight, Mr. Waldron. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Obviously, there's a lot to unpack this potential closer. It's rare, though, however, that we, as some of my colleagues have alluded to, have the opportunity to test something. So often we're changing zoning, or we're changing an ordinance, and we're as well-informed as we can be, but we don't know what those effects will be until it happens. This is an opportunity where we can see how it will shake out. My concern, however, is how are those data used after we do receive them? How is it, as I said, unpacked? How is it disseminated to the community and the stakeholders? And then what mechanisms for feedback will there be to communicate some of those concerns, not just from Lehigh and the city, but as well as the surrounding community? I'll also add, however, if this was the full-time street vacation, I would not be supporting it. However, I am in support of the temporary closure, because I think we do have a great opportunity here to see what the impact will be. I also have to really agree with Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert about some of that conversation about how the community is drawn up to Packer Avenue and feels a little bit more welcome on the campus. I've spent some time just walking around Lehigh's campus, and it's tremendous. And I think that it's a wonderful asset to our city, and I think to expose that to more people is only a good thing for Lehigh and a good thing for the community. I did have a couple questions I was hoping we might get a little more clarification on, and I don't know who in this crowd would be able to answer them. About some of the timing of the study, because there's been much made about that window, and what some of the conversations behind the house were about why these dates were picked, why this duration was picked, with spring break, with construction on the campus. Who might be able to answer that, of how you designed this study to start on this date in March and go through all of April?
I'm happy to field that question. I think there's a couple of different issues stacked up there. One was, I think there's some confusion over the spring break piece. So we purposefully selected spring break as the time to implement. So that means getting all the barriers in place, put the gates up, set everything up, and actually do some tests. So we're going to be working with the fire department to make sure vehicles can drive through. We'll be actually working with some of our service vehicles. So when we lay out the chicanes, because the students won't be on campus, that gives us more freedom to do some of these tests without as much impediment. So really that spring break period was thought of as the setup time. We won't be gathering real data at that point. The real data will be when the students return. So that will be kind of what we consider the start point. I think the 45 days was actually a result of a lot of discussion with the city about what we felt like was a long enough period that people would settle into patterns and we would see how they would change because of the closure, but not so long that we were potentially putting too large a burden on the neighborhood. If that gets that answer.
That does answer that question. And then that second part was about the construction and some of the road closures that force cars down the hill a little
bit. So I think somebody else said this, and I obviously we do have a lot of construction, more than has ever been occurring at any one time at Lehigh in its history. I would say, though, that I would anticipate a circumstance in the future that there could always be a major construction project going on at Lehigh for the next 5 to 10 years. Maybe not with the level of intensity that we have right now, but I think it's a reality that's a condition that we would have to live with. And in some ways, I would argue, I think somebody had brought it up, that it's kind of a worst case scenario in that respect to understand impact. Again, I go back to the fact that if there is anything that seems extraordinary in terms of the closure, we will reopen it. There's no question in our minds. We understand that. And to be honest, we face a number of significant internal pressures as much as the community pressures in terms of that as well. So we're very mindful and very sensitive to that.
Understood. And much has been made to the point that this is a extreme reaction to at least the public safety issue with those 1,200 pedestrians crossing the street, and suggestions of something less intrusive that would still allow traffic, such as traffic calming measures, crossing guards, elevated or lit crosswalks, and I can't help but think that those were considered.
So one of the things that's unique about the campus is, obviously right now we funnel all the students at that central axis that essentially feeds down to the New Street point. One of the challenges we actually face on Packer is that people don't always cross at that axis. So even if we had a crosswalk there, we'd face some of the issues in terms of, because we have buildings all along that area, and in fact, future planning may put more activity along that area. Controlling, having a single point, such as a crosswalk or a bridge, would certainly have some impact, but wouldn't necessarily address all of the issues related to safety. The other thing I would emphasize is that we do look at safety as being one component of this and not being the sole reason for the closure.
I think that's been pretty clear in your messaging as you've talked about bringing campus employees and students off, as well as the component that I might like to see a little bit more of in the conversation is how do you bring the community up to that space. And if Packer Avenue is eventually vacated based on the trial that we're discussing this evening, I would hope for a kind of an all-in approach from Lehigh. Some thoughts, especially from Dr. Van Wert, about how can you make that space feel more inviting? Is there a playground there? Is there a community space? We heard for the first time tonight about community programming and having events on that flat space and using that. And I think that should be a major consideration in a potential permanent vacation of the street, which I understand was not a question.
Yeah, and I would say I don't think Lehigh takes any issue with that, and I think that would be something we'd look into. I mean, we've talked about the fact that Farrington Square is really the only little sliver that we have for something like that. Programs like the farmers market, things where we get those mixes, are certainly ways we'd look at programming that area.
Understood. This may be a question for the administration, but I would like to know if Packer Avenue is eventually vacated, and who owns that property from curb to curb? Is that the city's, or is that Lehigh's at that point?
If you vacate the street.
Thank you, Mr. Leeson, if you'd step up to the mic.
Generally, if you vacate the street, the ownership then conveys half the street goes to the owners on the one side of the street, the other half of the street goes to the ownership on the other. It's generally how it works out.
So half Lehigh and the other half would be Lehigh?
Might be. I just don't know who owns all the way down. Assuming that's true, then that would probably be the result.
Clearly on the south side of Packer, that's obvious Lehigh. I guess the question is the north side of Packer, is that Lehigh owned from Vine to Webster? It is. So Lehigh would own the street. What would be the potential, legally, I guess not what your plans are, for Lehigh to develop or build on that space? Would they be allowed to do it?
Once they acquire ownership, they can develop plans and go through the regular processes, which would include a review of whether the property is eligible. Lot sizes, probably there's a lot of things that would be subject to review, but I think the answer that you're looking for is yes or no. The answer is yes.
Understood. And obviously there's utilities under that road that...
As part of the agreement, there will be easements reserved for utilities and other issues that may make it difficult to do just about anything that they may essentially prohibit development in.
Yeah. Council has been down that road many times before, and I think you're well aware that with every street vacation, there's a process we go through to assess the impact on utilities. And Mr. Alcohol's point is well taken, that may render real development impractical.
Understood. And essentially, if that street is vacated, I know in the past there hasn't been a transfer of funds when we've done some street vacations, but there is value to it as a roadway for cars, but I would also imagine there's a financial value for Lehigh, and they are a nonprofit, so they wouldn't be paying property tax on expanding their campus, essentially. So I don't know if that's a question that can or should be answered this evening, but it's something that I think has crossed a few minds about where the dollars come from and go to, and then also the additional impact from the parking meters lost revenue, which maybe that is something that could be answered this evening. Obviously, not by you, Mr. Leeson, though. So I guess you're off the hook for now.
I would just jump in there to answer the financial part of it. That would be definitely phase two. When we talk temporary, we know those and we're going to add those thoughts internally, but we haven't advanced anything or made and collected any offers or made any asks yet, because we're just really focused on the idea. Let's see what works here, and we'll take a step back and take a very big step too if it goes there.
And I did have an opportunity to talk to Mr. Fernstrom at the Parking Authority, and obviously they have a number that those meters bring in. So that's in their budget, so that would have to be offset by something. And then if it is, you know, it is tricky, and it is obviously a negotiation that goes back and forth. And from what I've seen thus far from Lehigh and the representatives, they seem willing to have those conversations and be able to give and take a little bit on that, as ultimately this has to be a partnership with Lehigh, the city, and the community as well for it to be successful. So I will be supporting this temporary closure this evening, and I turn to my colleagues to see if they have anything else they'd like to add or ask of the Lehigh representative. The clerk would please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Moore?
Nay.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Nay.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 3-2. Resolution 10C.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 523-525 Main Street to install an elevator and stair shaft at the rear facade. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Is there any new business for members of council? Mr. Reynolds?
I just wanted to quickly mention, I wanted to thank everybody in this room that reached out in the past couple weeks after the passing of my father. I think that I had mentioned before that the strongest thing that keeps us together when we have disagreements is the fact that we have individual relationships, individual friendships, and we have a respect for each other. And I think there were a lot of people that reached out to me and my family in very heartfelt ways. I know that I appreciated it, and I know that my family appreciated it, especially my mother. But I just want to, in a difficult time, it's one of those things that when you looked around at the different cards and the different comments and the emails and the phone calls, it reminded me about, you know, one of the reasons why our community works, and it would be the same way, and it is the same way when other people in this room lose somebody. But one of the reasons why our community works is because we care about each other as individuals, and that supersedes any individual issue that comes before us. But we care about each other, and we care about maintaining those relationships. And you know, this was just one more reminder, and I just wanted to say thank you to everyone in this room that reached out. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Is there any other new business for members of council? This meeting is adjourned.